And Alter Rebbe adds and goes on to explain that there is something unique, however, about the nature of the relationship between an organ and a soul. Yeah. Okay, now you want to know exactly, you're saying the mitzvah itself is the mouth, you're saying the mitzvah is the nefesh. So where does the aver come in? That will be clear in a few moments. L'chei nikroyis, evarei demalka derech mashal, hence the mitzvahs are figuratively described as organs of the king. For just as the organs of the human body are a garment for its soul, and are completely and utterly surrendered to it, because as soon as a person desires to stretch out his hand or foot, they obey his will immediately, without any command or instruction to them, and with no delay whatever, but at the very instant that it entered his will to do so, the organs, the hand or the leg or whatever, implement the will of the soul. Kach derech mashal. So just as the organs of the human body are completely united with one soul and absolutely surrendered to it, so too by way of illustration, achayus shel ma'isa ha-mitzvus v'kiyuma, the life force animating their performance and fulfillment of the mitzvahs. You see, hachayis shel ma'isa mitzvah v'kiyumah, the energy which imbues, which animates the performance and fulfillment of the mitzvahs, hu batei legamri, is completely surrendered legabei ratzon ha'elyon hamalubash bay, to the divine will which is clothed therein, v'nasa loy mamish keguf l'neshama. And this life force, which animates the ma'isa ha-mitzvah, becomes in relation to the divine will like a body to a soul. V'chein, likewise, halavush hachitzon shel nefesh ha'alikis shaba'adam, the external garment of the divine soul in man, ha'mekayim v'aisa ha-mitzvah, which is fulfilling and practicing the mitzvah, shehu kayachu b'chines ha-maisa shelah, namely, its faculty of action, the faculty of action of the divine soul in the person, which is fulfilling and practicing the mitzvah, hu mislabish b'chayis shomaisa ha-mitzvah, clothes itself in the vitality of the performance of the mitzvah, v'nase gamkin kiguf l'neshama, and thus it too becomes like a body to a soul, l'ratzon ha'elyon, in relation to the divine will, u'batel elav l'gamri, and is completely surrendered to it, to the ratzon ha'elyon. The terminology is a little bit confusing and complex, but we'll try to make it a little more clear in just a few moments. But let's learn another few lines. V'alkein, therefore, gam evrei gufa adam hamekayimim hamitzvah, also those organs of the human body which perform the mitzvah, shekayach u'pchines ha-maisa shel nefesh ha-lekis, melubash bahem b'shas maisa v'kiyum ha-mitzvah, which the faculty of action of the divine soul is enclosed in those organs during the performance and fulfillment of the mitzvah, Haim they. The organs, nasu merkava mamish l'ratzon elyon, become an absolute vehicle, a chariot for the divine will. Kigoin, for example, hayad hamechalekes zdokalani, that hand which distributes charity to the poor. Oy ois a mitzvah acheres, or performs another mitzvah. V'raglayim amahalches l'dvar mitzvah. Similarly, those feet which walk for the purpose of fulfilling a good deed, a mitzvah. V'chein ha-peh v'loshen shemadabrim divrei Torah, or the mouth and tongue which speak words of Torah, or v'hamoyach shemaharer b'divrei Torah v'yiras shamayim b'gdolos Hashem Baruch Hu, or the brain reflecting and thinking about the Torah on Torah, or on the fear of heaven, or on the greatness of Hashem, blessed be He. All of these organs, the hand, the legs, the mouth, the tongue, the brain, all of these physical organs, at the time of the performance of a mitzvah, has become a merkava, as he calls it, an instrument, a vehicle, a medium, a total chariot, through which the divine will is realized. The relationship between the organs of the body to the soul is a very powerful one, as Dr. Rebbe points out. In relationships, there are two levels, generally speaking. We'll soon address a third level, but at this moment, there are two levels of relationships. Whether parents and children, two truly close friends, colleagues, a husband and a wife, and so forth. There is a relationship where a friend requests from his friend to do him a favor, and he immediately goes and does it. He loves him so much, he's so deeply connected with him, that he's passionate about fulfilling a request of his friend. A healthy relationship, a healthy marriage relationship, for example, necessitates that, obviously. If two people love each other, A wife asks a husband to do something for her, he goes and does it. Or conversely. That's the most basic level of relationship. But it's not yet a real relationship. This relationship exists if you're dealing with two people, two distinct entities, two distinct identities. A deeper relationship is, the Alter Rebbe once asked the question, the famous question. Everybody knows that Avraham Avinu performed the whole Torah before it was given. Chazal tell us, even Eruv Tafshilin. Even Eruv Tafshilin, the Gemara says. Frag the Alter Rebbe elsewhere, how did he know? How did he know the mitzvahs? Mela circumcision, Hashem communicated to him. Mela the other mitzvahs, Shavu mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the human race was aware of, Hashem communicated to them. But how did he know about all the mitzvahs? The Torah was not given yet. I think I once shared with you the idea of Reb Michal Zlotshever, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, who once explained, and this connects actually also to the idea of this Perek, that just as the human body corresponds, the human body consists of 248 organs, 365 sinews, physical sinews. The human soul also consists of these organs and sinews in a spiritual way. Just as the human body gravitates to physical nourishment and food, when a child is hungry, it begins weeping and crying. You don't have to train a child. You should ask for food because naturally, intrinsically, the body gravitates to food. The soul gravitates to its food. The nourishment of the soul is Torah and Mitzvahs. Every mitzvah nourishes one of the 248 organs of the soul and one of the 365 sinews of the soul. Just like there are various physical substances that nourish the 248 organs and sinews of the physical body. It's just we're not in touch with our soul. The others were in touch with their soul, so they naturally gravitated to mitzvahs, to this mitzvah, that mitzvah, just like a child naturally gravitates to food. That's what Michal Zlotcher explained. The Alter Rebbe once presented another explanation. It's connected, but it's a little bit different. The Alter Rebbe said that the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Hashem calls Avram, says, Hashem calls Avram, Avram oyavi. Avram loves me. When you truly love someone, you sense what the other person would want. A true friend doesn't have to tell his friend, go do this for me. If you're a real friend, you experience the other person. Avram experienced Hashem. Hashem loves a mitzvah. Avram didn't have to be commanded to do the mitzvahs. He naturally went and did all the mitzvahs. The Baal Shem Tov was once talking about Avos Yisrael, but love towards a fellow Jew. So the one of the Chassidim says, what does a taka mean to love your fellow Jew? So he told them, just go into the nearby inn. Go visit the nearby inn. They were wondering, how are they going to discover the secret of Avos Yisrael in the nearby inn? The nearby inn were usually Russian peasants who day and night would be drinking alcohol, vodka. That was their way of dealing with life struggles and problems amidst the misery of Eastern Europe at that time. Actually, that custom hasn't dissipated yet, unfortunately. So they went to the nearby inn and they see two non-Jews, two shikurim. They were totally stoned. Apparently they got along well, and they were having this conversation amidst powerful intoxication. So one shikur tells the other shikur, one drunk and tells the other drunk, do you love me? Are you my friend? He says, yes, I'm your friend. Would you do anything for me? He says, I would do anything for me. He says, prove it. He says, ask anything of me and I'll go ahead and do it. I'll die for you. So he says, tell me what's bothering me at this moment. He says, I don't know. I'm not God. I don't read thoughts. He says, you're not my friend. You don't love me. If you would love me, you would know what's bothering me at this moment. That was the Baal Shem Tov. Avraham oyavi. Hashem didn't have to command him the mitzvahs. You have to command, you have to express a request if the person is a distinct person. Now obviously we're not making these demands of every individual to know what the other person is thinking. But a real love, you become so in tune to the other human being, you become so connected that you look at the person's face and you immediately can sense what's going on. You experience the pain, you experience the joy, you can imagine, you can anticipate what this person would love at this moment. Avram was so loved Hashem so much that he knew exactly all of the mitzvahs without ever being told. Now that's the relationship between the body and the soul, essentially, between the organs of the body and the soul. That's what Alter Rebbe is saying. The body obviously is a distinct, is ultimately, it's not the soul, it's a physical manifestation. But when the soul encloses itself in the body, they become so much intertwined and interconnected in a healthy human being's life that when the soul wants something, the Alter Rebbe says, when the soul wants to budge an arm, a leg, a finger, and so forth, the organs of the body obey it immediately without any tzivui and amira, without any commandment, and without any delay. That very moment that the person wants to do it, the body responds. And that resembles, that illustrates the powerful nature of the unity between the organs of the body and the soul. It's not two personalities, which even if they have a relationship, but ultimately you're dealing with two realities. They become so much intertwined and interconnected that the body totally surrenders itself and becomes totally attuned with the soul, that it becomes a natural instrument and medium of expression of the soul. Therefore, there is no need for time and there is no need for a commandment. The soul wants it, the body feels it and responds. Parenthetically, obviously, the various issues we discuss in biology about the time that some of these things occupy, the Alter Rebbe is not addressing, because even if that exists, and we won't get into it, that has to do with essential physical limitations that are totally that are inherent to the universe and are not intrinsic and do not demonstrate the relationship, a barrier in the relationship between the body and the soul. So the Alter Rebbe doesn't even address that. That's just a parenthetical note. So this is important to understand about the relationship between a body and a soul. Now, here the Tzemach Tzedek, in his writings and his commentary to the Tanya, points on an interesting aspect. The Mishnah, the conclusion of the first chapter of Masechta Ahalos, enumerates the 248 organs. It's important to understand what are the Ramach Evarim concerning the dinim of being Tuma. Obviously, a corpse affects defilement, Tuma, if one comes in contact with it, or one is under the Tuma in the same oil, the same roof, tent, and so forth. So the Mishnah enumerates what are the Ramach Evarim, what are the 248 organs. And some point out the fact that the Mishnah totally does not acknowledge, we do not count among the organs, the inner organs. For example, the heart, the liver, the intestines. It's only the external organs of the soul. It's only the external organs of the body. And the Tzemach Tzedek points out, it's interesting that the inner aspects of man's body do not have this relationship with the soul. They don't have that relationship with the soul. If your stomach is making some problems, as it often does, your soul could say, you know, I'm really not interested in this. And your stomach will say, but I am interested in this. Now, obviously, God forbid, someone who has an illness that affects also the external organs of the body, but even in a healthy system, they don't have that relationship. They do not have that relationship. We won't get into that. There's a big shock of a tire about that. We won't get into that. But that's not the point. It's not enumerated as one of the Evarim. Because he says, Evarim, we only count among the Evarim those that have such a relationship with the soul. Now, the truth is, the more a person works on himself and develops himself, he can create such a relationship between the soul and the inner intestines also. But that's a very powerful relationship. That the soul, a person should become so in tune with the soul, even that his inner system should respond to it. Our digestive system, for example, has its own rules. It's not like the arm or the legs or the fingers of our hands or our feet and so forth. You know the reason for this? Ego. In a physical sense, the inner dimensions of the human body have identity. They're proud of themselves. That sense of ego separates them from their source of life. The external organs of the body perceive themselves as inanimate matter. Meaningless. They don't attribute to themselves any importance save the fact that they have a soul. So they surrender their ego. So they're totally in tune with the soul. So they experience the soul. The inner organs have an ego, so they don't experience the soul. So here we understand now the difference between the relationship of mitzvah to Hashem and the entire universe to Hashem. Hashem's will is the soul that animates and grants vitality and energy to every aspect of existence, not just to mitzvahs. But mitzvahs are evar in the malk, and the rest of the world are like the inner elements of the human body. The world perceives itself as a meaningful identity separate from its divine identity. The Alter Rebbe sees in that a very powerful error. As he explained in last week's parrot, Gasus haruach haskula kaved hazara, arrogance and idolatry are synonymous. Why? What is the problem with ego from the Alter Rebbe's perspective? What is the problem? That it undermines relationships. That's a given. But why does it undermine relationships? The problem with ego is, from the Alter Rebbe's perspective, in Perek Chaf, Chaf Aleph, and Chaf Beis, you're holding on to something that simply does not exist. Let go. You're putting your stocks in something that never existed. Such a life is destined to a lack of fulfillment and meaning, because there's nothing there. It's like, in psychological terms, certain human beings, actually, this is common, we all have deep fears. And those fears dictate so many behavioral patterns in our life. And the beginning of healing is when we begin realizing that we are holding on to something that doesn't really exist. And that is the fuel that's driving us. But that fuel has no validity. And therefore, the behavioral patterns that come as a result of that fuel are totally distorted, because they're coming from something that doesn't exist. And we have to get rid of them. But those fears are deep. Dr. Rebbe sees the whole concept of ego to be that. Leave go of it. It doesn't exist. Achdus Hashem. The world has no independent identity save the identity of the divine energy that's sustaining it. Which doesn't undermine the world. It elevates it infinitely. It doesn't undermine identity. On the contrary. It imbues identity with something absolute, eternal, transcendental, and so forth. So the world is similar, the relationship of the world to the soul is similar to the relationship, for example, Tzemach Tzedek writes, of the intestines to the soul. They're animated by the soul, but they deceive themselves to have a personality of their own, save the soul, and therefore they have their own agenda. The real work of man is in creating a link between the soul and the inner system of the body, similar to the link that exists between the soul and the outer organs. That's why the holistic and the Kabbalistic are very much intertwined. The holistic approach in medicine and so forth is very much connected to the Kabbalistic perspective of the human existence in the universe. So here we have the difference of the relationship of the universe to Hashem and the relationship of mitzvahs to Hashem. Mitzvahs are not like the inner organs which have an ego. Mitzvahs are like a varin, the malke, like the relationship of the organ to the soul. And Alter Rebbe addresses two elements: the vitality animating the performance of the mitzvahs, and man's koyach hamaisa, which is involved in the mitzvahs. These are the evarim. These become organs of Hashem. Hashem's inner ratzon is that there should be mitzvahs. When you're dealing with the universe, the universe is a manifestation of the chitzonius haratz, of a superficial will of Hashem. But even that superficial will is not always sensed in the universe. The universe experiences itself as an egotistical reality, and a lot of work is required to create a synthesis. Concerning the mitzvahs, we say not only are the mitzvahs the result of Hashem's innermost will, mitzvahs, and therefore they're like a varim in the sense that they communicate the soul into this universe. They communicate Hashem's will into the universe. The reason Hashem exists, the reason Hashem sustains this universe, the reason Hashem projects His energy into this universe is because of the mitzvahs. But their relationship to Hashem is like the relationship of the organs of the soul to the soul. And in both dynamics, the vitality of the actual mitzvah, of the performance of the mitzvah. The performance of a mitzvah has energy in it. When a Jew takes a willow and a citron and a myrtle and an arava, an esrig, hadas, lulav, and arava, and sukkas, and he shakes it, there is energy at that moment. Every physical aspect has energy. And the performance and behave and acting with a physical, doing something with a physical object, also has energy. There is a chayis there. That chayis, Dr. Ember says, is totally surrendered to the divine will which is enclosed in it, and it becomes like a body is to a soul. Its relationship to the divine innermost will is like the relationship of the body to a soul. Which means that the vitality which is animating the performance of a mitzvah has no identity of its own save its expression and projection of Hashem's will. That's what a mitzvah is all about. any other performance we do in the world has an independent identity. I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm communicating, I'm moving around, whatever it is, every single aspect of the universe, human behavior and the behavior of the universe at large. It has that autonomous perception. What is a mitzvah? What is the idea of a mitzvah? When a Jew is performing a mitzvah, what is he saying? This is bespeaking the divine will, the divine innermost will. The performance of a mitzvah is saying what? I am surrendered to my Creator. I am surrendering myself to my Creator. I am now fulfilling the will of my Creator. So the energy of the mitzvah is like the relationship of the energy of the mitzvah to Hashem, to Hashem's innermost will, is like the relationship of an organ to a soul. It strips itself of all ego, self-consciousness, self-identity, divorced from Hashem. Its whole reality, character, persona, and identity at that moment is what? A soul projector, expressor, implementer, garment of the divine innermost will. The same is true, the Alter Rebbe says, about the Koyach HaMaaseh involved in the mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, your energy of action, the third garment of the soul, is involved in it. Whether you're putting on tefillin, whether you're helping someone cross the street, whether you're doing someone a favor, whether you're eating kosher, whatever it is, whatever mitzvah, there is the energy of the act, but that energy is also connected to the fact that my energy is being imbued here. My Koyach HaMaaseh is involved. So he says that Koyach HaMaaseh also becomes an aver of Malka. It becomes an organ of Hashem. It's manifested in the mitzvah. It's imbued in the performance of the mitzvah. My energy is now involved in the mitzvah. And it becomes also like a body to a soul in its relationship to the divine will. It's completely surrendered to the divine will. So my energy when I do a mitzvah, or a Jew's energy when I do a mitzvah, what's happening to that energy at that moment? That energy strips itself from a self-contained, self-oriented, self-directed, egotistical identity. Its soul identity becomes nothing but an expressor totally in tune with the soul. And in this case, the soul is Hashem's will, Hashem's intimate desire and will. So that's Evarin Amalka. And then the Alter Rebbe says, hands, the physical organs, also become a Merkava for the divine will. Here he doesn't say any more Aver, he says a Merkava. You see inside, he says. Ma'isa mitzvahs v'kiyumon. I learned this already. I just want to point out the difference. He said, the chayis of ma'isa mitzvahs v'kiyumon is totally bottled to the Ratzon Elyon. It's like a goof to a neshama relative to Ratzon Elyon. The p'chinas ha-ma'isa of the human being, which is enclosed in the ma'isa mitzvah, is also totally bottled to the Ratzon Elyon and is like a goof to a neshama to the Ratzon Elyon. Va'al Kaini concludes, also the Evarim of the Guf, which are performing the mitzvah, in which my energy of Ma'aseh and clothes become a Merkava Mamrish to the Ratzon Elyon. A Merkava is not an Aver. What is a Merkava? Huh? A Merkava is literally a chariot. It's a Merkava. A chariot. We'll soon see in Medrash, in Torah literature, it's the metaphor we use to demonstrate a relationship of one aspect with another aspect, a true relationship where there are no two agendas, where I totally surrender myself to another human being, to a certain agenda, to a certain vision. Just as a simple chariot, a wagon, for example, or horses, sometimes in Kabbalah we use the term Merkava to describe the nature of the horses pulling the wagon. Sometimes we use it to describe the nature of the wagon itself. But in both cases, let's talk about the wagon, or let's apply it to modern day and age. In Alter Rebbe's times, people weren't driving cars. Let's apply it to a car.
Truth is, a car does have its own identity. It can make you serious problems on these cold weathers. But essentially, if the car is a good car, okay, an Aver can also be a problem if it's a sick Aver. But essentially, if the car is a good car, there's no such a thing. You come in the morning, you start your car. Okay, I have to get to the city this morning. The car will say, no, I'm not in the mood of it. I want to stay in Brooklyn. It doesn't happen. Why doesn't it happen? We know why it doesn't happen. Because the car is not another human being. It has no consciousness of its own. Hence, it has no agenda of its own. Its whole agenda, so to speak, is that it's agendaless. That it's at your disposal and you may direct it wherever you wish. It's there to serve you. That's what a Merkava is. But it's not an Aver. It has to be told. It's not going to do it on its own. Take it in the case of horses, or of a pet, of an animal, and so forth. You can have a horse that's totally dedicated to you, but the horse is not going to experience your need. A Merkava demonstrates the fact that there is a distinct identity which is subservient. There is a distinct personality which doesn't have its own agenda. Divorced from the agenda of its master, it will hence obey and fulfill all of the wishes, desires, convictions of its master. But nevertheless, you have to communicate those convictions to the Merkava. It doesn't have an agenda of its own, but it has an identity of its own. It doesn't have rules of its own, but it has a personality of its own. That's like the first level of the relationship we spoke about. A real relationship, but I have to ask you to do it. You have to ask the Merkava to do it for you. So it's a chariot, it's an instrument, it's a medium, but nevertheless, it's not like the relationship between organs and the soul. Organs and the soul are two things. But nevertheless, the organs strip themselves from an identity, not only from an agenda, from an identity in the positive sense. So they experience the identity of the nefesh, and the nefesh doesn't have to communicate anything to them, and therefore there's no delay either. It's instantaneously and without any level of communication. And that's a deeper level of relationship where when you go really beyond your ego, you experience the other person. Avraham Ayavi. But a Merkava, you don't experience the other person. A Merkava, you're there for the other person. It's a Gnesa Darga. It suffices to sustain and to create a powerful relationship, no question about it. But it's not the real, real, real thing. So here, we have the relationship between man and godliness when he does a mitzvah. And this relationship consists of two dynamics. One dynamic affects his internal soul energy, which is involved in the mitzvah, and one dynamic affects his physical body, which is involved in the mitzvah. His internal soul energy, which is involved in the mitzvah, becomes an organ to Hashem's soul. He becomes Hashem's body, so to speak. His physical elements become Hashem's Merkava, Hashem's chariot, not Hashem's Aver. His inner energy that's involved in the mitzvah, the third garment, the Koyach HaMaisa, which is imbuing the performance, which is creating the mitzvah, which is doing the mitzvah, that becomes, in relationship to Hashem's soul, like a body to a soul, like a human body in relationship to a human soul. It's totally surrendered. But Leilov Legamri, it has no identity of its own. It's like the relationship between an Aver and a soul. But the body, even when the body is involved in the performance of a mitzvah, so the body becomes a Merkava to Hashem. The body strips itself from an ego, from its ego. The body strips itself from autonomous agendas, save its true energy and identity and essence, which is divine. True. True. But it still bespeaks physicality. You cannot say that it totally lost itself. It totally stripped itself from itself. It defined itself in new terms. When a hand is distributing tzedakah to a poor man, that hand is making a powerful message. It's redefining its function, its utility, its purpose, its essence. Instead of saying, I am, as an egotistical perspective, as an egotistical reality, it says, I am here to help another human being. I am here to bring in spirituality, holiness, and godliness into the universe. It becomes a Merkava, solely there for the implementation of Hashem's will. But you cannot say that it lost any sense of separateness, because it's ultimately a physical body. You can't say it merged with the divine energy to become a seamless whole, and all the barriers have dissipated. So that's the Eivari Guf Adam. And Alter Rebbe gives an example of a hand and legs and your tongue and your mouth. And this is an extraordinary phenomenon, the body becoming a Merkava to Hashem's will. At the moment that the organ of the body is involved in the performance of a mitzvah. However, the vitality of the mitzvah itself, and also the inner soul energy which is involved in the mitzvah, they do not only a merkava, they are like a guf to a nefesh. They are a machivar in the malka. They become organs of the king. The relationship to Hashem is now like the relationship of organs to a soul. And that's a much deeper level of intimacy. And Alter Rebbe adds, we'll learn the next few lines, V'zeu shamur razal. This is what our sages said. This is what they meant when they said, Ha'avais, hein hein ha-merkava. The patriarchs, they are the embodiment, the personification of what a merkava is. Hein hein, the patriarchs are truly the divine chariot. So Alter Rebbe explains, Shekal evareihim kulam, for all their organs, were completely holy and detached from mundane matters. And throughout their entire lives, they served as a vehicle for nothing but the divine will. And here, obviously, the Medrash is describing the nature of the Avos' physical bodies. The physical bodies of the Avos, hein hein, were an embodiment of what a Merkava means. Because every single human being and every single Jew, at the moment when he or she is involved in a mitzvah, the organs involved in the mitzvah become a Merkava to Hashem's will. There's no question about it. The uniqueness about the Avos, Alter Rebbe says, it was that all of their organs were always a Merkava. Two aspects. All of their organs, kol evareihim kulam, kol yameihim, during their entire life, there was nothing about any of their organs but a merkava for the implementation of Hashem's will. The aspect, you're asking if that's the product of Avraham Ayavi. The aspect of Avraham Ayavi, which that we spoke about earlier, denotes the spiritual nature of the Avos. And that results in the fact that their body was constantly a Merkava. Which for the physical body, that is reaching its quintessential peak. As physical people in the physical universe, which is affected by the Tzimtzumim, it's reaching its utmost. It's reaching the top of the mountain. The mountain is infinite, but relatively speaking, for the guf, that's what the guf reaches. Because even when the guf is involved in a mitzvah, it's physical. That physicality ultimately can't make it like an eiver to a nefesh, but it can make it like a merkav. Versus the inner identity, the spiritual identity involved in the mitzvah, and the mitzvah itself, they have no personality of their own, save the personality of Hashem, so to speak. When you perform a mitzvah, your energy that's involved in that mitzvah is like an organ to Hashem. It has no personality of its own, save the Ratzin Ha'elyein that is now being realized. And the same is true about the mitzvah itself. Versus everything else going on in the universe, which is animated by the Ratzin Ha'elyein, but ultimately, it doesn't bespeak its creator, it bespeaks itself. The guf, when it's doing a mitzvah, doesn't bespeak itself anymore. It makes a powerful declaration. It's an acknowledgement of a spiritual essence that is at the core of it. The Baal Shem Tov once gave a very powerful insight about the nature of what occurs when a Jew or when a human being gives a coin as charity to a poor human being. So we walk down the street and we see someone in need, a poor person. Nebuch stretches out his hand, opens his palm. You have a nickel, you have a dime, you have a dollar. So we might open our wallet, put in a quarter, put in a dollar, and so forth. The Alter Rebbe doesn't see in this just an incidental act. Rather, he sees in this act an extraordinary revolution that revolutionizes the energy of the universe. It's metamorphosizing the guf from an autonomous, egotistical reality into a chariot and instrument for divinity, for holiness, for sacredness. So the Baal Shem Tov once illustrated this dynamic which we are addressing here and discussing here concerning that phenomenon of putting in the coin into the poor man's palm. And this is what the Baal Shem Tov said. You take your hand, you stick it into your pocket, and you take out a coin. Okay, let's say a quarter. Which letter does the quarter symbolize from the 22 Hebrew alphabets? Which letter? The Yud. The quarter is like that little Yud. Okay. So you have now the Yud. You place the Yud in your palm. Which letter does the palm symbolize? The He. You close your palm and you stretch out your arm like this. Which letter do you have? The Vav. You place the coin into the palm of the poor man. What do you have? Another He. Yud, K, Vav, K. Your life has just become a living embodiment of Hashem's essential name. Says the Baal Shem Tov, that's why when you're walking in the street and you see a poor man, never allow him to stretch out his hand first, to open his palm first, and then that is what's going to motivate you to take out the quarter. You know why? Then you're confusing the energy of Shem Havaya. If his palm is open first when you're walking down the street, what came first? The hay. And only then did a yud and a hey and a vav came and then another hey. It's confusing the energy. You have to start with the yud. You have to put your hand in the pocket first, hey, vav, and then should come his hey. Because it's not just about the name, it's also about the order of the name. It's about being in tune with the rhythm of energy. When you're walking down the street, you have to be in tune with the melody of life. And if the poor man stretches out his arm first, you miss the beat. You miss the beat of the flow of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Have a good day and a wonderful week. A Merkavah's Kaddish. A Merkavah is Kaddish. Yeah, a Merkavah is a Metzius of Kedusha. The guf of the Avos was a Metzius of Kedusha. But in Kedusha itself there are Madregas. In Kedusha itself there are levels. There's a relationship of an Eivet to a soul and there's a relationship of a Merkavah to a soul. In other words, Kedusha means a relationship with Hashem at every moment. In a relationship, there are two levels. There's a relationship where you experience the other person. There's a relationship where you're committed to the other person. It becomes a merkava. It becomes a merkava, obviously. It's a merkava, it's kedusha. Yeah, it's redefined. And redefined means a change. Why does he use these mashalim? So Yad HaMechalek is daka, is obvious. He wants to give pashta mashal. He says, I oisa mitzvah achedes. Yeah, that's, he wants to give one mashal. What does he mean? Then he says, you see, after Achaz is a dat, here there's a chiddush. Because Yad HaMechalek is daka, the Yad itself is doing a mitzvah. Raglayim HaMechalek is ledvar mitzvah, the Raglayim are not doing the mitzvah. You're going to shul to daven. It's a machshir mitzvah. What? He wants to bring a dugma that even if it's just mahalchis ledvar mitzvah, the hiluch is not a mitzvah. You're just going to be doing the mitzvah, still it becomes a merkav. You mean bekav l'chaymer? He should say only the second. The pashtus, he wants to say the first because that's the etzim vart. That's l'chaylerish. Avada, you would know it betul kav l'chaymer. But he wants to give a dugma for the real thing. Then he wants to add, even if it's raglayim hamachas dvar mitzvah. And then he wants to add something else. And this is a chiddush. Because in the continuation of the Perek, we'll see that Torah creates a relationship which is beyond mitzvahs. This is a third level of intimacy with Hashem. Yeah, in Torah there's a certain new relationship that we'll discuss, that we'll learn next week about. So therefore, he wants to add that the Pan and the Lashon are still a Merkava. There's a certain no. The Pan and the Lashon by Torah like a Vardim ben Gei Mitzvahs. In other words, he wants to say the Chilak I'm going to soon talk about, the Mile of Torah Lagabi Mitzvahs, is only Lagabi other Inyanim. We'll soon see Lagabi the Machshava, Lagabi Keiach Adibur, but the actual physical Pan Lashon by Torah is a Merkava, nothing else. Why Pan and Lashon? Perhaps you might think that the Lashon is more than Pan. The Lashon is more involved. The Pan is more a Keli. He wants to be madgish that because these are the two organs that are involved in Limud HaTorah. So he wants to say, yeah. And then he's maseh even more. The Mayach Shemahana B'divrei Torah. Ladies, Masbir, that the Kayach HaMachshava of Divrei Torah becomes not only an Eivir, it becomes even beyond an Eivir, we'll soon see. Yeah? Becomes even beyond. So you want to say, but the Mayach, the physical Mayach is a Merkava. The brain, Pashit, the brain, that's the Gashmis of the brain is a Merkava. That's why he gives these Dugmayas. It's very Bidiyak, huh? The Gashmis of the brain is a Merkava. It's a powerful thought. Yeah, that's the Vart. The Gashmis of the brain redefines itself as a Merkava. The gray cells. And the same is true with the Yad HaMechalek HaZdaka. The Yad becomes a Merkava. Not the Guf, the Guf HaGashmi, the physical Guf, redefines itself from a separate Metzias to a Merkava of the Eibushter. It's another vart. He says that through a mitzvah your mamshach chayus in the world because it's the ratzon apnimi.
Which part of the spheres where Hashem is megala himself?
Every mitzvah has a unique. It's a amach evarim in evarim gufa, the 248. There's a sefer chereidim. He discusses the correspondence of every mitzvah to the aver, to the amach evarim. Very interesting. You're saying since there are 12 tzirufim from Yudke Vavke, so sometimes it's good to wait for the Ani to stretch out his hand first. The hay should come first. Naniach the truth that there are tzirufim and mechanist upmach in the tzirufim, that's true. But nevertheless, the Yudke Vavke Kesidrei projects a much more powerful, revealed, intense energy than the Tzirufim. Yeah. That's why it's Nissan. The Tzirufim are ultimately somewhat of a substitution, which by definition means concealment.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.